This is Mandy and Akmal's top 10 moments you may have missed.
It's Mandy and Akmal's top 10 moments you may have missed. Welcome.
Thank you.
Not you. I'm talking to the person with the headphones on right now, or maybe they're listening in their car, or maybe on some sort of Bluetooth speaker.
Or on an island, or in prison.
Maybe. Correct, Akmal. They could be listening anywhere.
Yes.
And we welcome you.
Yes. And there were so many funny stories and so many insightful things about you that we didn't even know.
Well, I did go knicker shopping this week.
Oh, yeah. So and that's something you've never done before?
Well, no, I've done it before, but it was a bit unusual. So you can hear about that.
Yes.
And you know what? We also spoke about that guy that ate so much deli ham.
Yes.
At work.
That's right. They couldn't find out who it was, but they narrowed it down by excluding the Jews and the Muslims. And it was only one white guy, and he was really fat.
Also,
and he said, no, it wasn't me. Yes, it was.
We also talked about your weird partner's pet name. So stick around for this podcast, and thanks for listening. You can catch us weekdays on 2GO from 5:30 to 9.
Thank you, Poopy. You know, we prepare for this show
every day,
and yeah. We don't know what each other is bringing to the table.
That's right.
But I look at the prep sheet, and it says here, a headline says, Mandy buys undies.
Yes.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
You think my life is so boring.
No. This is going to be a great story.
Okay, so my undies were looking daggy, and my daughter's undies were looking daggy, and I thought, right, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy some new undies for her birthday. It's her birthday.
But no one sees the undies. Why do they have to be non-daggy?
Because they fall apart and they just look jacked. No, I needed new undies, right? It's just what happens
makes
every now and again, right?
Can I admit something to you that you might find weird before you get into this story?
Yeah.
And might sound a little bit perverted.
Oh, God.
And there might be some element of perversion in
it. Yeah, okay.
But sometimes, I don't do this intentionally, but when I walk through Maya, and I accidentally walk through the women's lingerie, I just slightly feel...
That is a little weird.
Is that weird?
Yeah, that's
probably
weird.
Look, there's probably a lot of blokes that wouldn't admit it, but yeah.
No, but it's there's something.
Well, it's sexy, sexy underwear.
I try to get out of there as quick as I can because it's not a place I'm meant to be. I kind of look around and go, no.
You feel awkward.
Well, that's where you're wrong.
I'm not buying any of this. I'm just walking out of here.
Well, I loiter for days sometimes. Sometimes security has to come and say, come
get
on,
out
mate.
Of here, Sally.
Either buy some G-strings or get out.
I don't buy that expensive underwear. I'm going to call it right now. Underwear is getting way too expensive. I don't know when undies for women started costing $15 and $20 a pair, but 15. I can't afford $15 underpants. I just can't. I mean, they're like bread and milk. They're staples. You use them every day. They should be cheaper.
You put undies on your cereal?
No, I don't put undies on my cereal. But what
so
I'm saying
like
is these are basic things that we need
edible
in life.
Edible ones. Have you had any?
I'm not going to talk about edible undies.
But
no.
Have you ever?
No, I've never.
Okay. Have you ever?
No, I don't want to talk about edible undies.
Because I bought some and just ate them straight away.
Oh, okay. I think that's missing the point.
Mm.
But anyway, I decided try and find some cheaper underpants. That was my mission yesterday. So I'm Googling and I'm trying to find online shops and stuff. And then I thought, you know, stuff it. I'll just go to Target.
Yeah, Target.
Target are pretty reliable.
Can't go wrong.
Right? Can't go wrong. Mm. They've got Bonds. I thought maybe I'll just get some Bonds. Even the Bonds are too expensive, to be honest with you.
They're like
$15 a pair. Sorry. Mm. I want to get a lot for my daughter. I want to get a lot for me. So I went to Target and guess what? I hit the undie mother load. I hit the jackpot.
Mm.
I found undies that were supposed to be $8 were reduced to $2.
Because they were secondhand?
No, they weren't secondhand. No, they weren't used.
They were new.
They were brand new.
Pretty cheap.
So I just went.
That's a good deal.
I know. I went, righto, I am just chucking the undies into my shopping trolley. I am just going, yep, give me some. So I think I got her.
Give me undies.
I think I got her 8 or 9 pairs, and I think I got me 8 or 9 pairs.
That's like fantastic.
I got to the checkout, and no joke, I had a stack of undies that was so high, and I'm just putting it on. I had nothing else. I had nothing.
Undies.
Just undies.
It's an undies day.
It was an undies day, and the woman looked at me as if to say, have you got some sort of problem? Because I'm standing there with like this gigantic
pile of
underpants.
You should have said, yes, I have terrible diarrhea.
Oh, stop it.
But
she was looking at me like I had some sort of problem.
Well, that's what I'm. Is that what you're insinuating?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
But that is a great day for you.
It was a great day for me. It was a great day for humankind.
That's a day
and
for the diary.
And I have to tell you, I'm feeling very well supported today.
I hope you wrote that down, Amanda.
I'm going to write it down right now.
News to come.
September
people will ask you. and say, remember the undies day? And
yes,
you won't remember.
I do.
What a way to start your day. Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
9.
We have in the studio the wonderful Stuart Smith, who is the Artistic Director of Options Theatre Company. Now, last Friday night, you launched. Hang on, I'll welcome you in a second. And me and Widow went to the launch, which was incredible. Akmal, unfortunately, you couldn't make it.
No, I couldn't make it.
You missed a great night.
I had a prostate problem.
You had a prostate problem, yes, did you? Wonderful.
It was enlarged.
Right.
No,
okay.
No, I was coming back from the Gold Coast, and I would have loved to have been there because I was there for the
We had a little
the
video
filming of yeah. That was great fun. Yeah.
So welcome, Stuart.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here.
Oh, it's a crowd as well. It's exciting.
Yeah, we've got a huge studio audience here. So you launched the Option Theatre Company. Now, just for anyone who doesn't know what you do, just tell us quickly what you do there.
It's a theatre company for people with disabilities is the idea of the theatre company. And it's a place where they can learn, have a voice, learn alternative ways to talk or alternative ways to have communication, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
So is it therapeutic for their disability?
It's an interesting thing, therapy and disability. I tried to steer away from it because I think people all have their own natural creative way of learning or their own creative way of expressing themselves. So that's what we try to do with the theatre company.
Performing is a form of therapy for people with no disabilities.
That's exactly
as
right.
Well, you know,
yeah, for sure, definitely is. So anything if you've got a creative voice and you want to be heard, this is there needs to be places like theatre companies to do that. So
absolutely.
And people with disabilities are no different to anybody else. So
exactly.
They have a voice, they have creativity, they have something to say. Yeah.
Widow and I were there Friday night for the launch where you put on a huge performance for us, and I have to say I had tears streaming down my face.
Yeah, right.
In particular, the monologue, the Shakespeare monologue that one of the participants did was
Richard the Third.
Was it Richard the Third?
Opening monologue from Richard the Third.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to see a person with a disability doing a character who is traditionally a person with a disability as well, and portrayed differently. So a character like Richard the Third is always played as a villain because of how they looked. So it was interesting to see Lauren take that on board, using what she could do to it, and make you think about Richard the Third in a different way to see what this is like, and to see a person with a disability saying things like how they are called a villain, how they are deformed. It's an interesting way to see a person with a disability own it and then change your perception.
She did such an amazing job, and we were invited there for the night. It was free to go and everything. Mm. I felt guilty. I felt like I need to pay money because it was that good.
And
she blew me away. But also
you didn't feel guilty enough. I felt guilty, but not
the contemporary dancing as well, though. It's just really amazing. And, and the sign language and stuff, it's great.
It was just phenomenal. Yeah. Can I just say that this theatre is new, so describe it. It was a big factory building.
Yeah, it was a big blue factory. It was like an old electoral roll place where they used to count votes and things like that. So it was literally a blue concrete factory. So yeah, we've put floorboards down, sprung floorboards, there's mirrors in there. We asked the community, you guys helped us with the lampshades as well, and we've got 100 of those hanging from the roof, and at a beautiful theatre.
It's a beautiful black box theatre that would stand up anywhere in the world.
Yeah, it certainly does. Yeah.
It's got seating and everything. So what happens next? Can the community access this? What's the plan here?
Well, that's our aim. That's what we want to do. So for years and years, being part of a disability theatre company has been us going to theatres, expensive theatres and local expensive theatres, asking if we can
hire them,
have a discount. You know, there's not a lot of money that comes through services like anything with disability. So, so we used to find ourselves saving up and trying to do fundraisers to try and get into these expensive places. But now we have our own theatre. So the good thing is this is a theatre that company that will have people with disabilities in it, but it will be run by people with disabilities for the wider community. So we can see artists come in and they'll be able to work with us and we will work with them. So this is a true way of forming inclusivity.
So it is really a role reversal in some way, isn't it?
Because that's the idea.
You're not going cap in hand into the community. You're saying, hey, community, come to us. We've got a theatre. You want to put a show on
or you want
to work with us?
Yeah, the day of being a victim is gone. Those days are gone. This is a really empowering place. And so these people are using their creative talent now to show the community what they can do and the wider community as well. So we've been overseas with different things that we've done, and it's an exciting thing for these guys. They're no longer trees in the background of the high school show.
These are out the front now, in the light.
I've been a tree. I've been a wall.
Were you a wall?
I was in a wall in Midsummer Night's Dream. And
it's a big part.
It's not a bad part, but it's a wall.
It's a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
Well, look, we've got to wrap up, but it's so amazing to see this facility on the Central Coast. Congratulations on your opening night.
Thanks,
it was spectacular.
Thanks,
can't wait to... I think as a team we can probably, you know, highlight this. So if you've got productions coming up, you need to let us
know. Oh, definitely,
yeah.
Well, Carl, come in and give you the rundown. I'll bring some guys in for you so you can meet them and they can tell you exactly who they are as well.
Excellent. Stuart Smith, Artistic Director of the Options Theatre Company. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Mandy and Akmal for Breakfast on 2GO. 8.
Mandy, you said that you agree with this study.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit gross, to tell you the truth.
Let me just tell you first. Scientists have basically got 57 men to smell the armpits of 28 women.
For money or?
No, for science.
Oh, yeah, for science.
So but they all came up with the same conclusion that men are attracted to women's stink.
Yes.
And it's got something to do with how fertile they are, and men sort of choose their women because if they smell a bit stinky,
They're more attractive.
They're gonna have babies with them.
I wonder how many people applied, creepy guys going, yeah, is this where you smell women? Can I just have a couple of sniffs?
It was a very tightly controlled experiment. It was an actual experiment in Sweden.
Yes.
Sweden.
I happen to say that I like the a little bit of a BO smell on men because it's something manly about it.
What about?
And you're now looking at me like I'm weird. I don't like being stunk out by a whole room of BO, but a little bit of a whiff of BO is actually very attractive.
A little bit of whiff.
I don't think I'm alone in this. No, I don't think that's not weird.
I can hands down tell. I love my wife dearly, so if she's listening right now, please don't
freak
rouse
out
on me later. But if she's got a bit of BO, it doesn't appeal to me at all. I'll actually point it out to her. You're a bit smelly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
that's mean.
Well, yeah, she stinks.
No, she does stink. She does. Definitely stinks, yeah. I've been with her.
Do you know what? I don't think I'm the only woman that thinks that a little bit of BO on a man is good.
Yeah. Amanda.
I'm not.
Listen to me.
Yes.
What if you were the only woman? Why would you,
freak out about that?
No.
I just don't want to be a weirdo.
That will make you unique. You'll be known as the woman who likes stinky men.
I don't really like stinky men. I'm just saying that a little whiff, I'm not going to say a lot of whiff because I don't like a lot of whiff.
Oh, no.
You know what? If any woman is brave enough to ring right now and tell me that she also likes the stink of her man,
give us a
call. I'll give her Red Hot Summer tickets. I will give a woman Red Hot Summer tickets if she's brave enough to admit she also likes it.
In summer, people sweat and they smell, so you're going to enjoy that gig.
That's right. The Red Hot Summer tour will be just the scent of the Central Coast BO rising into the night sky.
You can smell the angels.
Ladies.
What's that smell?
Baby animals.
If you love the smell of your man's BO, ladies, 4324444, call right now.
Yeah.
We've got tickets for the Red Hot Summer Tour. Save Mandy, okay?
It's not a bad thing. Bonnie from Budgie Boy, I'm not alone here, am I?
No, you're not. the last few weeks I haven't really been close enough to my partner to feel his BO, but when I do, I like it.
There's something masculine
I know
and
that
sexy.
Sounds filthy.
No, it doesn't sound filthy.
It does.
It sounds natural and normal to me, Bonnie.
And it does make me seem a little more sexy, too, doesn't it?
There you
go. I'm not the only one.
You're not the only one, Bonnie. Thank you so much for your call.
This is why I haven't done well with women over the years, because I have no smell.
You have no BO. This is it. Let's go to Yarramalong.
I knew there was a reason.
And Katrina's on the line. Katrina, do you love the stink of your man or a man?
Hi, I do. I absolutely love it. Not the stale, horrible, day-old stuff.
The fresh
but
stuff.
Fresh, fresh, manly smell.
Now you're talking my language. Yeah. You're right about the stale thing, though. The stale thing is gross.
Yeah.
Especially if they're wearing the same shirt day after day after day.
Oh, yeah.
But straight off a basketball court,
Oh, fantastic.
I love it. Katrina, stay there. That's fantastic. Nicole in Berkeley Vale, how much do you like your man's BO stink?
I think it's great because that means he's had a very hard day at work, and I appreciate that.
Sweaty man.
In the garden, mowing and cleaning up.
It's that physicalness. He's been physical.
It's hard to do that when you're a radio announcer. I've been sweating like a pig.
No.
In the studio.
And Akmal generally just sleeps when he's not here. So, there's no BO coming from your armpits. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you. So great to hear from you. Let's finish with Julie from Edelong. Julie. The smell of a man.
Absolutely love it.
I'm not alone. I love
you there,
this.
Mandy.
Oh, thank you for saving me. So is there any particular time of the day or give it to me, Julie?
Give it to you.
Look, you know, when he comes home from work, he's a night shift worker,
So it's a great wake-up call in the morning for me.
Oh, wow.
And happy days.
Oh, no. A little bit too much information, but we love it. You're going to the Red Hot Summer Tour. Well done, Jules.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Thank you.
What a way to start your day. Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
7.
We're live from Cook & Co Eatery in Woi Woi, on the road here outside the Peninsula Plaza. Come say good day. We've got free coffee until 9 o'clock.
Yeah, Michael's here. He's just finished working the night shift at Gosford Hospital. Yeah. Got himself a free coffee. Yeah. Lovely to see you here, Michael. And plenty of people walking past, getting into their Wednesday morning, which is fabulous.
Yes.
Now, I wonder if any of the workers here, I don't think so, because they all look pretty honest to me, the Cook & Co guys.
You can't trust those honest-looking people. You know, it's the dodgy people you got to trust.
Natalie and the team here are great.
They're amazing. But you know what? Yeah. There's a grocery store employee over in the US in Ohio that's been sprung doing something at work that I reckon I would do.
Oh, yeah. This is a great story.
Yeah. She's apparently helped herself to about 3 to 5 slices of ham every day because she works in this grocery store that sells like sliced ham and continental stuff.
What a pig.
What? No.
No, sorry.
She's a human.
It's a joke because, you know.
Because she's eating ham.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know how they found her out?
No.
Because every other employee was Muslim. Well, it can't be them. It's got to be the white girl.
They reckon that over... They reckon...
Look, see, they're laughing.
I know, there are some people laughing here.
Watch out, he's got an audience at the cafe.
I know, watch out, it's all going to go pear-shaped.
Finally, I'm getting laughs.
You know what? She actually ate over $12,000 worth of ham.
What, in one day?
In a year, no, in a year.
In a year.
And sometimes she ate salami as well.
Oh, yeah, she mixed it up.
She mixed it up. Oh, yeah, today I'm going to have salami instead.
And they sacked her.
They sacked her.
That's terrible.
But
that's
terrible. I would find it really hard to resist salami as well. Widow, what do you think?
You like salami?
I would do this if I was
worked
there.
I would do this too.
Mate, if Widow was working there, he'd run them out of business. He'd eat them out of
it's breakfast of Mandy and Akmal, 107.7, 2GO. Watch out. We are at the Cook & Co Eatery in Woi Woi. I'm going to eat all the cookies and all the donuts.
You're listening to Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
6.
You just were talking about Australia.
Australia, 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 we love you.
Well, we do.
This here is the wattle, the emblem of our land. You can stick it in a bottle or hold it in your hand.
Oh, Akmal, you are so patriotic. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Look at the crowd going wild for your wattle
Australia.
Song.
Also, that's a Monty Python reference, isn't that?
Is it? Yeah, it's Monty Python.
Oh, is it? There you go.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know.
Anyway, the wattle.
Thanks for spoiling it.
The wattle is out, everybody. It looks beautiful. It's a nice time of year to be in Australia.
Yeah.
And a couple of, four backpackers were in the Whitsundays having a great time. Australian backpackers.
Oh, yeah.
Just doing that
staying
thing.
At home in their own country.
Staying at home in their own country, but travelling around as backpackers do.
I only go when people speak English.
Don't get on that bandwagon. Anyway, they had to use social media to ask for help because they became stranded.
They're on an island.
They got to the island by using a blow-up mattress as a raft.
Oh, yeah.
And once they got over to Gloucester Island, which is near Ellie Beach.
I know, Ellie Beach, yeah.
Yeah, they had a hole in the air mattress and ended up stranded on the island with nothing to, no way of getting back.
Except their mobiles were there.
Their mobiles were there, so they managed to say, this is what they said on social media. They actually put it on the Backpacker Jobs Australia Facebook page because they knew that other backpackers would see it.
Lucky they charged their phone before they left.
No.
Because they wouldn't.
And lucky it didn't drop in the ocean. They said, this is going to sound silly, but me and three friends are stranded on Gloucester Island near Ellie Beach because the blow-up mattress we used to get over with all our camping stuff has a hole in it and sank. Good. So anybody nearby who's got a boat, come and get us.
That's fantastic. You know, imagine if Robinson Crusoe had an iPhone. That would have been a really short
story.
Short novel.
Yeah.
And then, and then he texted and he was rescued. The end. film with
Tom Hanks?
With Tom Hanks.
Oh, Tom Hanks.
Castaway.
Yeah.
I watched that not long ago. God,
did
that's
you?
A good film.
Is it good?
Yeah, God, I watched it again not long ago and I just went, wow, you know, this is such an amazing story.
Have you ever seen that You Can't Stop the Murders?
I have.
Yeah.
Doesn't that star Akmal Sali?
Akmal Sali, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's not as good.
Kitty
though.
Flanagan's in that.
Oh, Kitty's amazing.
She's
How
funny.
Funny is Kitty?
How funny is Kitty?
She's the funniest. Oh, yeah, love Kitty.
What a way to start your day. Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
5.
This is hilarious. I don't know whether you caught this yesterday, but there's a golfer from South Africa. His name's Jared.
South African, yeah.
South African. And
immediately, without knowing anything further about him, I'm going to guess he's evil.
Don't say that.
No, no.
Not all South African people are evil.
No, not all of them. No, no. But
I know
this
some
guy,
lovely South African people.
Yeah, I met one once, but it turned out he was Swedish. No, no, no.
Anyway,
let me explain. I don't mean they're evil people. I mean the accent sounds.
The accent is weird. I'll give you that.
Where did you park your car? Did you park it on the grass?
No, in the garage.
Get out.
Your car is parked in the car park.
Oh, that's
the one. That's the one you're trying to do.
Look
who's done accent classes.
Hey, this guy Jared, though, he made a fatal error. He thought he was sending a voice message to his partner, and instead he sent it to a group of his mates. Now, he uses some really cutesy language in this message that was meant for his partner. He uses nicknames for his wife, including my doo-doo bear.
Doo-doo bear?
My bok-bok.
Well, doo-doo's normally associated with
my
poo.
My doo-doo bear, my bok-bok, my special person.
My poo bear.
Anyway, he uses them over 18 times in just over a minute. Oh. We've got a bunch of audio here. Now, stick with it. It's a little bit long, but have a listen to this guy leaving a message for his special someone.
My beautiful baby bear. How's it going, my doo-doos? I just finished playing now my bok-bok and I'm standing here in the bathroom area because it's a bit noisy outside because they're doing the long drive, my bok-bok. But decent day, my bok-bok. Could have been better. But all okay, my special. Try and get it going tomorrow. My bok-bok. But really tired. Don't think I drank enough water today, my special person, so I got a little bit of a headache.
That's only 30 seconds of a minute's worth. It keeps
God,
going.
That's good.
I just feel like, you know, slapping him.
My little bok-bok.
I didn't drink too much water, so, you know, I've got a headache.
My little bok-bok, my little special person.
But everyone's got a pet name for their partner.
Yeah, I want to find. Okay, so here's this. I want to find the weirdest or the weirdest pet name that you've got for your partner.
And maybe your partner doesn't like it. I know couples where the guy, uses a nickname, and the girl I know for a fact hates it, but he still persists because he thinks it's funny.
Exactly, that's very typical of a bloke.
What an idiot!
But you know what? I don't want sweetie and honey. Don't ring if you're sweetie and your honey. I want the weird ones.
Sweetie and honey's been done to death.
It's been done to death.
We need something new.
We need something
like poo-poos. Hello, poo-poos. Hello.
Look, 4324444. We've got tickets to the Red Hot Summer Tour. You can go see Susie Quattro or the Angels. They're all going to be there. So 4324444. We're looking for the weirdest partner pet name.
Yeah, give us a call, my little pumpkin crumpet.
My pot of dripping honey.
Call now.
Alicia from Point Clare joins us. Hello, my little bok-bok.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello, my little tube of jam.
Alicia, what is your special pet partner's name?
I call my husband the Grinch.
The Grinch?
Ah, the Grinch. Why?
He's not into parties. He's not into Christmas. He's not into birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, family get-togethers, none of that.
He's green and he's got gigantic ears.
Yeah, right.
He refers to birthdays as hatching day. So he's like a little green dragon. He wants to
I love it. Stay there, Alicia. That's amazing. Let's go to Leonore in Lake Munmora. Hello, my little bok-bok special person.
Hello, how are you?
Fabulous. Now, is this a partner name for you, or is it the one you call your partner?
No. His pet name for me was Boobah.
Boobah!
Where did that come from?
Well, if you really think about it, break it down into two words and then put a couple of extra words on the end.
Oh,
Boobah something to him.
What is it? You've got me intrigued. I can't work it out.
Just say it. You're on the radio.
Just say it. Don't worry about it.
Boobar him up.
I would never
That's
have
one for the grown-ups. Let's go to Caitlin in Narara. Hello. Now, is this your dad calling your mum something?
Yeah, it is, actually. I just had to ring because it just reminded me of him. He called her monster, fish face, horse head, and sausage.
Wow. All in one go.
I don't really know why, but it was just... He loved her and
she... Well, clearly.
Oh, yes. Monster, fish head. What was it?
Horse head.
There was monster, horse head, fish face, and sausage. Then there was Bubba, but... Bubba was sort of, that's not really that.
Well, he chose the days to call her in particular. Like,
that's
on
wonderful.
Melbourne Cup Day, he'd call her Horsehead. And
that's brilliant. Let's go to Rabina. I don't know whether you can beat this, my little bok-bok, but have you got a longer name than that, a longer pet name?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yes, Robina.
Hello, hi, Robina.
Good. So what's the pet name?
He's my chunky, puffless, mud muffin monkey boy.
Yay! That's great.
Oh, just say...
Just Chunky for short.
Just Chunky for short. Yeah, say it one more time for us, Robina.
Chunky Puffalus, Mud Muffin Monkey Boy.
Well, tell Monkey Boy that you're going to go to the Red Hot Summer Tour. We're going to send you there with some couple of tickets. Well done.
You're listening to Mandy and Akmal for Breakfast on 2GO.
Hey, we've got Mitch Garling in the studio with us. He's a local comedian. We love you. You helped us out with the Gimme Five for Kids comedy night, which was fabulous. Yes, Mitch, welcome.
It was very good.
Thank you.
I think he'd be in the top five comedians with great hair.
Yes, he would too.
You should put that on your posters.
You do have great hair, and I have noticed. How old are you, Mitch?
I'm 30.
You're 30. You've got a beautiful little grey sort of
thing
happening at the front, which is very George Clooney.
It's very George Clooney. It's very one of the mutants from X-Men. They have a beautiful grey streak.
Very Alsatian.
Thank you.
It's a bit, I mean, the nicest possible way.
Oh, look, I'll take it. That's fine. If you want to compliment my fur, my hair, that's all good.
Mm, no, well, you've been compared to George Clooney and an Alsatian in the same sentence.
Yeah, so. Now, never thought it would happen.
NBN News, which you can catch on 8 at 6 p.m.
Yes.
You were on it, mate.
Yeah, so the guys from NBN, they reached out to me about my Gosford Hollywood sign idea that we've been floating. So they got to me and said, let's do a little wacky...
An expose.
Show? Yeah. We've run with that. Did a little
now, for
exposure.
For anyone that missed it, so a couple of weeks ago you came in and you told us that you'd seen a post online that had the Woi Woi sign and you said, let's go one better and make it the Gosford Hollywood sign in the hills.
Exactly.
Up near Rumbalara there. Mm-hmm. So that as you drive into Gosford, you see this and you think Hollywood.
Yep.
You think, yes.
We need a big statement. We need a big statement.
Yeah. Then you go to Erin Affair and you quickly forget that it's Hollywood.
Very quickly. Yes. Very, very quickly.
Yes.
But, yeah, so like I said, those guys from the bar at Woi Woi, Lucky Bee, they put up a post about Woi Woi needing a sign, and I said, nah, we need to go one better.
We need
a Gosford one. Gosford deserves it more. But now we've got a bit of a feud going on.
Oh,
with the guys at
the Lucky Bee.
Oh no!
Do you want me to send my cousins over?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Just to have a talk to them.
That would be real good. Yeah. But yeah, with the guys down there, they thought I took their idea.
Oh no!
They were very upset.
The Hollywood sign idea.
No, the
Hollywood sign idea. They want it in Woi Woi. We want it in Gosford. Does this mean war?
It 100% means war.
Yes.
It's the civil. I mean, it's civil war on the coast. It's the biggest Central Coast fight since Walt Loveridge tried to bash me at Hungry Jack's.
Well, Mitch, you can count on me. I'll be there fighting
for Gosford.
For Gosford, of course.
I'm fighting for Gosford.
You're getting real angry. There's a lot of your fists are clenched.
As long as the battles don't start too early.
Yeah.
Because on my day
and
off.
And don't require any fitness.
No, that's true. Yeah. Like a bit of stamina.
If we can sit down and protest, that'd be awesome.
Well, I could organise that. That'd be good. Mm. But yeah, so the guys down there, not happy, but... You know, I'm not happy with them. You know, Woi Woi doesn't need one. Woi Woi's got a statement. It's got the big, beautiful tunnel as you come through on the train.
It's got the Spike Milligan Bridge. I mean, what more do you want, Woi Woi?
And let's not forget the ice addicts.
Stop it, that's a good tourist attraction. Don't.
Well, that's a big, like, I mean, that seems to be people's main problem with me putting up the Gosford sign.
Because they say you should do something
about the problems first, like the drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's the drug dealers going, mate, you're attracting attention to our town. We want to be incognito.
Yeah, we'll meet you behind the S.
So what's going to happen next? Yeah, what's the next step now?
Look, the next step, I'm thinking about stepping away from my role as foreman. We need you as our leader.
Slap him.
Hang on. Oh, that was weird that it had a pop. But
he didn't have to slap his bare bottom.
Well, that was on me for getting it out, to be honest. But, you know.
This has gone off the rails, guys.
Can we bring this back, some kind of petition maybe, something on Facebook? What are we going to do?
Look, I want to keep going. It's in my heart to get the Gosford sign.
Okay.
But I don't want trouble.
Okay.
And those Woi Woi guys, they seem like trouble. But
well, it sounds like they've asked for the trouble. The trouble's... It's come to you. So if the Woi Woi people are listening, it's war.
Okay. Wow.
We didn't start this war, but we're going to finish it.
All right, Woi Woi versus Gosford. We'll have to catch up with you next week to find out more, Mitch Garling.
This is getting intense.
Yeah. You know, Woi Woi means deep water. I think they should change that to hot water.
Because they're in it. Water, exactly.
Yeah, they're going to see a lot of deep water if they're not.
Do I need a balaclava?
Really stepped up a notch. I'm not sure either of us are actually going to try and make a sign. I think we're just friends, really.
Yeah, all right, Mitch Garling, we're going to get you in next week. We'll find out more then. If people want to follow you on Facebook, how can they do that? What's the page?
Just head to Mitch Garling on Facebook and, follow me.
And where's your next gig?
Next gig, that is a great question. It's actually tonight. Pennant Hills RSL.
Beautiful. Pennant Hills.
I'll be there. Maybe. I'll be there.
You will not. Anyway, you'll got a gig tonight.
Thanks for coming in, mate.
There's nothing worse than a comedian having another comedian sit there and watch him. It's just the worst.
Just the judgment. And and when there's no laughter?
Of course there's no laugh. If they laugh, then you're in trouble. You know you messed up big time.
Mitch Garling, we'll chat to you next week, mate.
What a way to start your day. Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
We're live today from Cook & Co. Eatery in Woi Woi at the Peninsula Plaza. Come say g'day. We got free coffee until 9 o'clock.
G'day. Windy. Win me free coffee.
There you go. There's
I want
one.
Free coffee.
Have a great day.
I just want to do a shout out to the lovely Richard from Artform Kitchens who just came up and said hello, and also Suleiman who owns this beautiful restaurant and cafe came and said hi too. So,
shout.
Lovely to meet the locals here in Woi Woi.
Lovely people.
Yeah.
Lovely people. But unlike some egotistical
tennis players,
wealthy tennis players who are privileged and
we're talking Serena here, aren't we?
We're talking Serena Williams now, and her spit, her dummy spit she had at the US Open.
I've got to be careful because people get sensitive and get very offended and worked up about nothing. And it's just, maybe it's an age thing, but everyone knows what is correct and they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. And everyone, you can't say anything anymore. And if it's not sexist, you're being racist, you're being hateful, and sometimes you're not. You know, there's a cartoonist who I admire.
Mark Knight. This was everywhere yesterday.
Mark Knight is a great cartoonist.
He's a fantastic cartoonist.
And he draws everybody.
Yep.
And I'm happy to be corrected here if you think that I'm wrong on this. I don't think it's racist. If you've seen, he just basically drew a cartoon of Serena spitting the dummy, right?
She was jumping up and down on her racket. And in the background, you can see Osaka, who actually won the match, saying can you just let her win?
Can you let her win? Which I thought captured that moment really well.
Yeah.
Now, people have lost their minds because they go, oh, that's racist. Because, look, he exaggerated her features. He's a cartoonist.
That's what cartoonists do.
That's what cartoonists do. They exaggerate features. And they go, oh, but it's just a caricature. It's a bloody caricature.
Exactly.
It's a cartoon, you idiot.
That's exactly right.
God, I'm tired of this nonsense.
It is nonsense, isn't it? And the world tends to just melt down over these things. This guy captured that moment beautifully.
Yes, and it's not hateful. It's not racist. Just calm down.
It's just humour.
And if you know, she's just using every excuse except saying, I'm sorry, I was a brat and I lost my temper because I was losing a 20-year-old. Instead of saying that, you go, oh, I'm a mother, I'm fighting for women. No, you're not. You're fighting for it so you can get to another $2 million, you idiot. Anyway.
Well, it's come out that the coach did say that he was giving her tips, and therefore she was cheating. So
but how is that racist? And you know, if it's not the woman thing, it's the racial thing. There's always excuses. Why don't you just say, I'm sorry.
I lost it.
I lost the plot because I'm greedy.
Do you know what? I would respect her so much more if she actually turned around and said, you know what? I lost the plot and I apologise.
And I apologise, absolutely.
How much more would you respect her?
I respect you for saying that.
I respect you too.
Really? Well, that's a first.
Oh, there's so much love around here.
Anyway, I love you. I love you, man.
Can I just tell you what Mark Knight said? So the cartoonist has had to come out.
I feel sorry for him.
He's had to defend himself. And you know what he said? He said, it's a cartoon about poor behaviour. It's nothing to do with race. I drew this cartoon on Monday night because I saw the world's greatest tennis player spit the dummy.
And then this people, J.K. Rowling, the woman who wrote
Harry Potter.
She sent a message saying, you know, how dare you insult. And I go, wait on, what's this? She said, you wouldn't draw a man like that. And then he sent a message back saying, just last week, it just so happens, I drew a cartoon of Kyrgios.
No, and
it was exaggerated, and he had big ears, and no Greeks got upset. Greeks didn't get upset.
The Greeks didn't.
They were too busy. They didn't even notice.
Yeah, they were too busy drinking coffee and just lying around having siestas. Souvlaki.
You're listening to Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
A story from Missouri. This was everywhere across the internet yesterday, and honest to God, you've got to jump on at some stage and see the photo of the X-ray.
Mm.
A kid 10 years old playing in his treehouse with his mates, right? Mm. So just doing a normal kid thing, And a group of wasps comes along and sort of starts flying around and attacking him in the treehouse.
Yeah, yeah. Where is it like wasps as in white people?
Not wasps as in white people. What does wasp stand for? It's white Anglo-Saxon person?
Yeah.
Is that it? Wasp?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He was attacked by white Anglo-Saxon people?
No, he was attacked by actual insects.
Actual wasps.
And so he fell out of his cubby house because the wasps were going and he lost his balance. Right, this is something I can see myself doing.
It's understandable.
Yeah. Little did he know, earlier, some of his friends had left a metal meat skewer sticking out of the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when kids find stuff, they play with stuff, right? They stick it out of the ground, they pretend it's swords, whatever.
What, a bit of a sharp skewer sticking out of the ground in a playground? What could possibly go wrong?
Let me tell you.
Okay.
He fell out of the treehouse and the skewer went through his head.
Oh.
Right through his head. I'm talking it was sticking out 15 centimetres out the side of his head.
That's very funny if it's not you.
Well, I tell you what, he was in the ambulance with his mum saying, I'm going to die, mum, I'm going to die. He's 10 years old.
Yes.
I mean, mum's freaking out.
Yes.
Guess what? It missed his eyes, his brain, his spinal cord, his major blood vessels.
And his head.
It didn't. No, it went through his head.
Oh, it went through his head.
But it missed all the things that it could have.
It would have been a no story if it just missed his head completely.
If it missed his head, it wouldn't be a story.
No, it wouldn't be a story.
There wasn't even any bleeding.
So
it wasn't even bleeding.
Was he a real person?
He's a real person.
Did he survive?
He survived.
He's fine.
That's why we're talking about it.
He's fine.
If he
that's
didn't...
the miracle of this. He had a big metal skewer through his face, and there was nothing wrong with him.
You know, if I was his age, when I was his age back then, it was a different generation. If I had a skewer in my head, my dad would just say, "Get up, stop crying, get the skewer out of your head, and get on with life."
It
was a much harsher.
I'm a bit like that as a mother as well. And I was speaking to my hairdresser yesterday, and she said her kid broke her arm. And she said, "You'll be right," for 3 days, and then eventually took her to the hospital and found out her arm was broken.
You know, if you break your leg, don't come running to me.
Have you had anything stuck in you?
Oh,
now,
let's be
sensible here. Like inanimate objects?
Inanimate.
Have you ever,
has
your brother ever had anything stuck in him?
Oh, yes, my brother. Thank you for reminding me.
Just a reminder.
My brother, when he was four, stuck a pencil up his nose. You don't see them anymore, but the pencil that had an eraser.
A little rubber on the end.
Yeah, do they still
have
them?
Yellow.
I think they still do have them.
They're still around.
Yeah,
well, anyway, he stuck one of these and he took it out, but the rubber was still in there in his nose, right deep in his nose.
Yuck.
And it was there for like 8 months. Because, and they took him to the doctor because he wasn't breathing properly. And he was waking up with that, and they tested his lungs and said, "I can't see what's wrong with it." And then finally, a very smart doctor, who probably had things stuck in him at some point, just checked his nose and pulled out the piece of rubber that had been there for 8 months. Then my brother started breathing again. And that was funny. We had a good laugh.
So
then we stuck the rubber at the end of the pencil again.
My brother stuck a chocolate peanut up his nose, and that got stuck for about, I don't know, an hour and a half, and we all thought he was going to die. Anyway,
it's weird.
The question is,
it's a different story.
The question is, what did you get stuck in you? And we're going to give you red hot summer tickets. So you want these tickets? They're red, they're hot, they're amazing.
Yeah, Susie Quattro, the Angel's going to be there. Baby Animals. So
I've
4-3.
Had something red and hot stuck in me.
Dave from Kingcumber. Hello.
Hello. How you going?
Good, mate. G'day, Dave. What got stuck in you, mate?
It wasn't me, it was my daughter when she was about 8 years old.
Yeah.
She stuck a pea up her nose.
A pea?
Was she eating dinner and she just found a pea and decided to stick it up her nose?
Yeah.
Well, it's green. She probably thought it came out.
Anyway, it was a couple of days later and she had this real bad odour and my wife took her to the doctor and couldn't find anything wrong with her. You know, they checked everything. And she ended up taking her to the hospital, the doctor at the hospital. Said, she's got something stuck up her nose. And they pulled out this rotten pea.
Now there's an image that's going to stay with us all day. Thank you very much, Dave from Kingcumber. Mark from East Gosford, this is when you were young, was it?
Yeah, when I was younger, I was told not to play with matches.
Okay.
And I kept going to the bathroom and I was bleeding. And after going to the doctor several times, I was taken to hospital and found out that I'd put a match down the end of my doodle and been stuck in there on the wrong angle. It was causing me to bleed.
That's distressing.
Why was that? What?
Yeah. So you were playing with matches and as a curious child you decided to just pop it in your doodle.
Pop it in my doodle and see what had happened. Surgery to have it removed.
Well, it's a very common thing.
And now every partner that Mark has says, "You're on fire." Boom, Tish. Thank you, Mark. Well done. Jason from San Remo.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, g'day, we're Jason. Fabulous, Jace. Happy Friday. What'd you get stuck in you?
When you're a kid, you have to play with your coins.
Oh, yeah.
So what you do, you shove it up your nose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty shocking when it happened.
Yeah, back in those days, they had the 1 cent coin.
The one, the two. Well, what did you have? What was it?
You had a 50 cent.
It was a 5 cents.
Oh, five cents.
Well, yeah. How'd you get it out?
When it gets stuck, you can't get it out because you've got to keep pulling it. So yeah. It's on one side, so every parent has to pull it out somehow.
Jace, we're going to send you to the Red Hot Summer Tour. It's going to be a great night. Enjoy that, my friend.
And Jason was...
thank you.
No worries.
No worries. He was with his parents at the RSL Club, and they thought Jason was paying out.
What a way to start your day. Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
One. Our guest is Father Rod from the Gosford Anglican Church.
Yay.
Hello, we got the choir in. Good morning. You've got a brand new book out called Outspoken, so we thought we'd get you in the studio to have a little chat about it and chat about what you've been doing.
And be outspoken.
Well, I've got Akmal, who's generally outspoken.
It's not a competition.
Akmal.
It's not a competition. I'm not like Serena Williams, where it's all about me.
No, this is true. Father Rod, I've had many interactions with you over the years, and I've loved your work, especially your work on your sign, the Gosford Anglican Church, which people may know is where you really started to get famous across the world. One of the first ones that made you famous was "Some people are gay, get over it, love God," which was fantastic.
That was back in 2013. So
was it? Five years ago already. But, you know, I want to know a little bit about your childhood and your upbringing, because something I read made me really interested. You said, I've spent my entire life being second choice. What's that about?
Yeah, I think originally that comes from being an adopted person between about 55 and 1975. There's about 145,000 of us weren't able to be brought up by our parents and were adopted into other families. And so there's a kind of a sense of that for most adopted people that, you know, we were kind of a bit second choice. You know, like our birth parents really didn't choose to have us because that was just kind of what happened. And the fact that we were adopted into another family meant that that family weren't able normally to have their own children. So it's kind of you start out life as a bit of a second choice.
You're a silver medalist.
Yeah, silver medal.
Which is
all the way.
Shame in silver.
Yeah, all the way.
But how has that shaped who you are, and how has sort of having that idea around being a second choice shaped you?
It's shaped everything about me, really, because I think it's given me the perspective of an outsider. I grew up in the Hunter Valley, where in a really small valley where everyone was related, except me. And so I started to see things as a bit of an outsider. And although I guess I'm an insider in my own profession, I still see it from the perspective of an outsider, which has given me a real passion for people who kind of live on the outside a bit or a bit marginalised. So
did that influence your faith? Whether your parents religious or was there a moment where God spoke to you? Because I'm fascinated by this because I've always had trouble with faith. All my family and friends have unshakable faith, and I've always questioned from the time I was young. I'm just curious, you know, was there a moment where that happened, or did you grow up with it?
I kind of grew up with it, although my parents weren't particularly religious, but they packed us off to Sunday school on the Sunday, just get rid of us a couple of hours.
That's it.
A bit of peace. And so I kind of grew up within, you know, the stream of the church. But when I was 12, in my church, you get confirmed about when you're 12, which is kind of a bit of a graduation ceremony. It means you don't have to go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bailed and didn't go for about 10 years. And then decided to go back one Christmas day. I woke up and thought, oh, you know, man, it's Christmas, should do the right thing, should go to church. And I just got kind of captured by what was going on and kept
going. So there wasn't a moment where...
No Damascus Road experience.
No Damascus.
Yeah, just got sort of caught in the stream and people started to say, oh, you know, you should be a priest, because I was sort of a young man, and, you know, any young man they see, they think, oh, you should be a priest. And so I kept saying, no, don't be stupid. Yeah. And eventually I said, okay, I'll go to the bishop and offer myself, and he'll throw me out of his office, and that'll be the end of that. And 26
and he didn't.
Years
he said,
later,
we need all the young men
I'm still
we
here.
Can get. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So this is incredible. Now, you've got this book out. I'm curious to know why you've written a book. You've got a pulpit that you preach from, and you've got social media, which is a great platform for you to preach around the world, which is definitely happening. But I also want to know why you wrote a book.
I think a book gives you a more reflective opportunity to sit and think, and whereas a roadside sign, it's 56 characters, a bit like Twitter.
Yeah.
It comes and it's gone in a matter of seconds, whereas a book gives people an opportunity to think a bit more, to reflect a bit more. I think when you tell your own story, what people really do is start to hear their own story.
But you know the thing that sets Father Rod apart from most people in today's society is that he's not scared to go against the wave of whatever's going on.
Mm.
And that's people claim to be dissidents and rebels, but they don't do anything. They just talk.
Yeah.
But they're afraid to upset people. Everyone's so sensitive, and I don't want to upset people. Even if what you're saying you really believe in, I better not say it because it's not cool to say that at the moment, you know. And we need more brave people who just stand up and say it like it is.
Like Father Rod.
And risk offending and upsetting people, you know. It's actually not necessarily a bad thing.
What do you think
of
that?
Because there was a man who wore sandals and did some pretty cool things, and he upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
They upset a lot of people. They actually...
He was executed for sedition, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't...
So it's been about rebels from the beginning.
Yeah, and it's really important. I think these are really important conversations for our community to have in terms of how we treat other people, how we view other people, how we understand other people. And people will always take up different positions on that, but the important thing is that we're having that conversation, and we're trying to have it in a civil society. We're trying to have it in the most civil way we can. And that's not always easy, but we've just got to keep talking, stay in conversation, especially with people that might look a bit different to us, might dress a bit different to us, might go to a different kind of place of worship and have a different language and tradition. We talk about, you know, all this time Australian culture. Well, it's a pretty eclectic culture, and has always been pretty eclectic.
Yes. If you're trying to think who is Father Rod, he's the guy that Nazis hate.
He's the guy that does the signs outside the Gosford Anglican Church, which have become famous across the world. Mm. But I want to ask you, you know, you're really quite a philosopher as well as being a priest. I think a philosophy is something that sort of I get a sense of when you start speaking, and I'm really looking forward to reading the book in full. But you say in here it's not a self-help book. Why do you say that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not out to give answers to... Self-help books often try and give people answers about, you know, how they go about their lives. Dead set not doing that.
But also, if it's self-help, you technically don't need the book.
That's right.
Self-help.
I like the idea of philosophy, though, because philosophy means the love of wisdom. And I think what we get, part of that's about my story, and I've been doing this story for 55 years now, so you kind of do pick up a little bit about, you know, how to navigate yourself through life. So
get some hints from you.
Well, I think what it does is encourage you to think about your own story and find your own wisdom and reflect on where life has brought you up until now and try and use those tools to actually navigate what your next step might be.
Which is a very different approach for a Christian as opposed to you'll do what we tell you because we speak, you know, because the Pope is infallible.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Now, I have a question. I have a question that I've always... Because I grew up in a very cultish religion and a lot of...
Coptic Egyptian.
Yes, Father is familiar with that. But a lot of weird stories in the Bible. You have to admit that. A lot of strange ones that have, you know, broken my brain over the years. But no more than this one because I relate to it personally. There's a story in the Old Testament of Elisha, not Elijah.
Elisha.
And Elisha was a bald man who was unattractive.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking in the street one day and these children came out and were teasing him about the fact that he was bald. And so he cursed them. And God, because he loved Elisha so much, he sent many she-bears to destroy the children and rip their heads off and kill them.
Wow, what a fantastic story.
That's the sort of God you want, isn't it?
That's a loving God. But he loves you, but don't make fun of bald people.
A God of action.
Is this actually in the Bible?
I'm going to be careful now at what I say about you.
I'm a bald man.
Exactly. God's going to come down and strike us down with thunder.
They told us this story in Sunday school, and then they said, but God loves you. Unless you're...
He's not going to rip your head off.
I think if that's what God was like, then God is rightly made fun of and we should do it.
What is your opinion of that story, Father?
It's just one of those stories that come out of some cultural event, maybe some way back in dream time.
So you don't believe
somewhere.
It actually happened?
No. And you should, well, we should make fun of it. If God's like that, then we should make fun of him.
I thought you said we should make fun of bald people.
As well.
Father Rod Bauer, thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
The book is Outspoken. That's the name of the book. It's available now and online as well.
It's also an audio book, so if you like Akmal and you prefer to listen to your books rather than read them...
I like Akmal.
Yeah, you can get that on the audio platform as well.
Father Rod, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You're listening to Mandy and Akmal for Breakfast on 2GO.
Hello. I must be going.
Well, you made it to the end of the podcast. Well done, you, and thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening all the way through, because we know when you don't listen.
Or do we?
No, we don't. I'm just threatening them. No, don't be threatening to the listeners. Good point. Mental note, don't threaten the listeners.
All right, well, you can catch us every weekday from 5:30 to 9 on 2GO, but thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Wake up with Mandy and Akmal live from 5:30 weekdays on 107.7 2GO, or catch up anytime via the 2GO app.